Blog Talk Radio.
Not gonna turn around. I know you're not gonna give up. You've come too far. Same God? Yes. It's that time. Let's get your pen, get your paper, get your sword. Let's get ready for the word. Let's start believing. Whatever you need. He's did it before. Hey, I'm a witness to that. If he did it before, he would do it again. Same God back then. Same God right now. Encouraged. Yes. You've been through worse. Yes, you didn't come this far to lose. Hallelujah. I believe that. What about you? Do you believe that? Deep down in your spirit and your soul, do you believe that? Oh, you've come too far to turn around now. You've been through things before, and some things was worse than what you're going through now. And you made it through that. You'll make it through this. Hold on. Hang on. Don't give up. He did it before. He'll do it again. It's the same God now. It's the same God back then. Same God now. Same God who brought the children that was wandering around out in the wilderness, but brought them to the promised land. Same God. Same God now. It's the same God who healed your mind when you thought you were going to lose it. Hallelujah. Even the nerve pills didn't work anymore, but God still brought you through. Same God now who helped you raise those kids, even when your husband walked out on you. He did it before. He'll do it again. Just keep on trusting. Don't give up now. We've come too far to give up. We're in our series where we have started, and we're on day like 18 right now, and just taking us through the steps of getting to complete power. power, getting to know God's grace and his empowerment over us and the different steps that we take in order to gain the strength and the joy that we need. And we're coming to the end of it now, and we're speaking about the empowering of the joy, the spiritual joy. We're speaking about how to have ourselves in order in the correct way. So it's just been a pleasure, and we should have grown. If you missed any of the segments, I encourage you to go back and just look into the archives and start from the beginning. Let's write them down. Make sure that you're doing all that you need to be doing. Make sure that you're just preparing yourself in the best way possible to get what it is that God has for you. That's what the teaching is for, is about today, okay? So hallelujah to each and every one of you. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to just share with my sisters and brothers the word that you have bestowed upon me, your servant. And may I decrease and may you increase and just use my body. And when I open my mouth, may you speak words that come deliverance to the people, each and every situation, dear Father. And when I decrease, may you increase in their mind sight and all of the thoughts, dear Father, that is not of you. I ask you to remove them, dear Father, and just fill up their vessel with your pureness, with your love, with your joy, with your word. All things are possible as long as we trust in you. And we've came too far, dear Father, to turn back now. And I stand together with all of my sisters and brothers in agreement. As we say, dear Father, we're not giving up. We love you. We want to honor you. And we believe in every promise that you've given to us. We believe that you've given us the promise that you would never leave us, that you would bestow us with your joy. So we want the gladness. We want to feel your presence. We invite you into our relationships, into our homes. We ask you to transform us. And as we serve you, may we meditate on your word night and day and keep our focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and do our scripture, and then we're going to go straight into the word. All right, sister, go for it.
Today we will be reading Luke 6, verse 37 to 38. And it says, "Judge not, you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will not be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. But with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And again, that is Luke 6, verse 37 to 38.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Tatiana. I know it's pretty late for you, so again, thank you. And then starting once our this series is actually over, we have like 3 more days in this series. As she's given the scriptures, we're going to change it up a little bit. She's going to do what she's doing now, giving us the scriptures. And then she's going to tell us a little bit about what that scripture means to her. So feel free to call in, of course, anytime. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. And again, we're going to be discussing a little bit in our future broadcasts about how that the scripture may affect our lives and how it what it means to me personally and to her personally. Again, the call-in number is 646-652-4916. And you can reach me, your host, Minister Von Dumas, at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Or, of course, you can always reach us at the home phone number of 210-253-9096. I'm sorry, 210-253-9093. Thank you very much. Now, you know it's very important for us to come together to make sure that we are, you know, hopefully at some of the later shows like this, you've had an opportunity to get the kids in bed, to do the things that you need to do to get your alone time. So hopefully you're ready to serve the Lord, to listen and hear, and the chat rooms are open. And so feel free to call in, get in the chat room. Again, for the ones in the chat room, if I don't respond immediately to one of your questions asked or something, I always do go back after the show and make sure that I do look at any questions that has been put in there. And if you leave me a contact or if you remained in the chat room after the show, I can speak to you live. Or if you want to leave me information, I'll be more than happy to get back in touch with you with any answers that you may have to any questions. All right. Well, we're going to go straight into it. Do you truly believe tonight that whatever's going on in your life, that if God did it before, he'll do it again? I think you're in believing some of that. I think you agree with that. I think that you have been through, if you've been following along in the series that we're in, I think you understand that Jesus is God. He's our Lord. He is our Savior. And that word means so much to us. And if we had the time, I'm sure that each and every listener right now could spend unlimited hours on just telling each and every one of us how he saved you, what he saved you from. Even a non-believer must testify that there's been times in their lives that they cannot explain how they came out of situations. They can't explain, you know, exactly what happened here, you know. Even a non-believer has those experiences in life, because it's just any time the Creator has touched you, you know, you can't help but experiencing some joy in your life. There's no one here that has been sad all of their life, you know. It's no one here. I have a situation right now with a baby boy, Elijah. We send out our prayers to Elijah. And Elijah Abraham, God bless you. And he's 14 months old, and he's fought real hard. He's been fighting for his life since birth. And as hard as it's been for Elijah even still has moments that he just gives us, his family, such a bright smile. They said, you know, he giggles, or he smiles. It's just such a relief. It's nobody here going through anything that has not experienced God's joy. You know, we may sometimes want to compare it and say, well, I've had more pain than joy. But I guarantee you that's not true. That's not true. Now, it may be a situation where the enemy is on his job more than you're on your job. And meaning that, what I'm meaning is that he's doing his job as to get in your head, to stay in your head, to keep the bad things in front of you. So that's all that you're thinking about. That's all that you're meditating on. Your job would be to counteract that by doing as the Word said. Meditate on the Word night and day. You know, instead of you doing the things or going into areas that would lead you into temptations, that would lead you into thinking of all of the destructive things that may have happened in your life, you would find yourself, or your responsibility, pull yourself out of those situations and say, no, that gets me depressed. That gets me depressed. I need to move myself out of that area, and I need to think of something joyful. I need to move in an area, get away from this crowd of people, because I know it's negativity over here. I need to go find myself and put myself with somebody who's going to think positive, who wants to be happy, who's choosing to be happy. You got to walk with forgivers if you want to be a person who forgives. You see, you can't keep containing the same stuff by the negative stuff in your heart, but you're thinking that you're going to be able to forgive in situations. So you've got to move yourself out of the way of all of the things that are not for you. If it's not for you, then it must be, there you go, against you. Jesus is doing his part, and he's gave us his promises, right? Jesus promised us that his joy he would give to us. But however, if we look around us, and just like we were speaking about, such gladness evades most Christians. Such gladness evades most Christians. That means most Christians may not be taking advantage of all the joy that they should have. That is offered to them. That is offered to them. That has been extended to them. There are certain important points that we must understand about joy, and that is true. See, the gift to every believer in Christ has a spiritual source. It's a gift that has been given to every believer in Christ. That spiritual source, of course, is the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, and is produced from within us by Him. See, the Holy Spirit should be living inside of you. It's produced as a gift in within us, and it's given to us by Jesus Christ. Now, since divine joy is supernatural, okay? Divine joy, that's a gift given to us, that's within us, is supernatural. It exists independently of our circumstances. So what I'm saying is, I don't care what you're going through, you can still reach inside of you and draw off of that joy that is divine, that is a gift, that is given to you, that is the Holy Spirit that is living inside of every Christian that has invited the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of them. So regardless of your circumstances, it exists independently of your circumstance. Now, in contrast to that joy, that divine joy, that gift that was given from Jesus Christ to us, that gift that lives inside of us, within us, in contrast to that, we speak of another word, and that word tonight is happiness. Happiness. So as we speak, our text would just be joy versus happiness. Which one are you choosing? What would you rather have, joy or happiness? So now we know that Jesus promises his joy. We also have touched on the fact that most Christians are not experiencing that gladness that he's promised to us. We've touched on the fact that, of course, that the joy is within us and it contrasts to happiness. Now, happiness comes from external causes, okay? Happiness is earthly in nature. And shall we say that happiness can either increase or decrease as events change? See, recognition by others, it may give you happiness, okay? Completion of a project could give you happiness. Your favorite team wins all, you know, the games or something, can bring you happiness. All of these sources represent earthly happiness. And can you agree that if you did not complete that task, that project, your happiness would decrease? Amen? If you thought that you were getting recognition you were going to be recognized by others, and they actually recognize your sister or your brother, it would decrease the happiness that you were about to just let yourself experience, correct? So again, the happiness comes from external causes, something that's outside of you, where joy is inside of you, where joy is not affected by what goes on outside of you. So what I'm bringing to your attention is, now that you realize joy and happiness, it's your responsibility now to choose the joy or the happiness. If you build yourself up for happiness and it doesn't happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't still have a place to find joy. You can still reach inside of you, call on the Holy Spirit, I need to feel your joy. I don't want to get angry about this situation. I don't want to mess up this whole event because of me, of what I'm thinking right now, of what I want to say, of how hurt I am right now. It's okay. I understand that you're hurt about situations. We hurt. That's what we are. We do hurt. But it doesn't have to destroy everything apart about you. It doesn't have to just raise your blood pressure up to the point that you stroke out, that it destroys the inside of you. You see what I'm saying? Because inside of you, surrounded by all of those organs that we need to survive, is joy. is a gift. That gift lies inside. So why not call on the gift of the Holy Spirit to protect everything that's inside of you that you need? Just to help put a little smile on your face. To help you over your disappointment when you do not experience that happiness as you was looking forward to. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. As we focus on our relationship with Jesus, remember, we got to stay focused, not on if the happiness or not, but we must stay focused on Jesus. And because of the Lord, our sins are forgiven. We must never forget the gift he's given us, and our sins are forgiven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are forever his. And nothing should separate us from him now, because as far as he is concerned, as long as we continue to stay with the joy, it's nothing that can separate us, not even here or in eternity. So what are you saying, Minister Vaughn? What I'm saying is, if we stay focused on the fact that our sins are forgiven, stay focused when someone is going against you, sinning against you. Stay focused. Stay focused. Remember that we sin too. And our sins are forgiven. Stay focused on the fact when it says that our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are things that trigger factors should keep you from flipping out, from just fleshing out. Those are the things that keep your mind set, bring you back to focus, bring you back in, reel you back in, and stop searching for that joy right now. Reel you back in and find some joy inside of you instead of happiness outside of you. Hallelujah. We should, when we're in distress, when we're about to lose our happiness, we have to remember that, you know, I want nothing to separate me from the love of God. I don't want to go off and do some things right now that I may spend the rest of my life paying for, that may land me on death row. I don't want to, out of my anger because I didn't get the happiness that I thought I was going to get. I don't want to say something that will destroy a relationship, because I don't want anything to separate me from the love of God, not just now, but for eternity. So for us to get the joy, remain with the joy, and remember, we just need to focus on God. Refocus on Jesus. In those times, we need to focus. You said, when I'm heated, you want me to focus on God? I'm really asking you, before you even get to that point where you're boiling and you're out of control, this should keep you from getting out of control. Just remember, you know what? My sins are forgiven. Just like this person that's just doing these wrong things against me, God wants to forgive them of their sins too, whether they repent or not. But I know that I've been in the wrong. I know I've had to look bad in people's eyes. I know I've hurt some feelings. I know I haven't always made the best decisions. But I've been forgiven. And I know sometimes, just to be honest with you, our flesh don't want these people who are doing against us. We don't want them to be forgiven. We don't want them around us. We don't want to think outside the box. We don't want to step back two paces and just say, I'll talk to him tomorrow. Right now, it's not the time. We want to go off. But we're looking at something different now. We're trying to grow. We're trying to spiritually grow. You shouldn't always be spiritually immature. We're trying to show growth. As we focus on the Holy Spirit, and we see his transforming work in others, you know, we need to notice and draw pleasure from what God is doing. He's rescuing people from bondage of sin, and he's conforming them to his son's likeness. Now, they may not be all the way there yet, but don't talk about them. Don't condemn them. Don't knock them down. Don't bring them down. Just keep on remembering. That's what God's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to bring the drunk out of the streets and into the church. Don't look at him crazy and say, what is he doing up in here? Don't look at him crazy because he don't have it all together. Don't look at that sister crazy because now she's got four different kids sitting up here on the church pew by four different men. He's supposed to touch her life. He's supposed to bring her out of sin. And you're supposed to accept and her as just your sister. You're not supposed to keep looking at her sin. If God has forgiven her for her sin, we need to stay focused on God. We need to notice and draw pleasure. We should be shouting just like they're shouting. Whoa, look where God has brought you from. We should be shouting also. We should draw pleasure from what God is doing in others. He's rescuing people. Of all the negative stuff we hear about in the news and all the negative things that's going on all around us that causes us to think that, whoa, there's no good news anywhere. I dare you, there is always good news. But are we so blind-minded we're not even looking, we're not even seeing it? We don't even want to see the good news sometimes. Open our minds, open our hearts. God is doing a new thing. He's bringing up ones that you have thrown to the wayside. God is pulling them in. He's transforming them. He's working miracles in their lives. And as long as you join the bandwagon and start to notice these things that are happening all around you, as long as you start to draw pleasure in the work that God is doing in each and every person all around you, you have to start noticing how he's conforming each and every one to be in the image of his son, to be in the likeness of his son. And then we need to serve those he sends to us. Obedience, loving care for others brings spiritual joy. Just being obedient. Serving a church does not happen. You see that they're lacking in different ways. Go serve in that church. You say, but I belong to this church. That's fine. You can still go serve. If you see that they're doing something to benefit that church, help out. Lend a helping hand. Make donations to the church. Whatever way that God speaks in your life, be obedient and serve those that he sent in your life. And then we need to meditate on God's word through scripture. We receive an outpouring of his love. Through the scriptures, we receive his precious truths. And on that outpouring of love, on that precious truth, we are to build our lives. Our joy is inside of us. We're meditating on his word. We have his overpowering love. It should rebuild our lives. It should build us up. We should start to feel different. We should start to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Hallelujah. We have to make sure that we understand that sometimes we don't like God's solutions. Sometimes we desire freedom from difficulty rather than an extra measure of grace to endure it. We would desire just freedom from that difficulty. Where God is saying, no, my solution for you is I'm going to give you an extra dose of grace where you can endure this. Or we want a new job, not a command to ask the boss to forgive us for our poor attitude. We're just saying, no, I want a new job. I want a new position. I'm not going to tell him I was wrong. I'm not going to ask that boss to forgive me. It's our poor attitude sometimes. Hallelujah. We need to make sure that we are meditating on God, focusing on our relationship with Jesus. We need to make sure that we're opening our eyes to see all the transforming works that he's doing in us and the ones around us. And we're joining in to serve those that he sends to us. You see, my sisters and brothers, the Holy Spirit desires to produce his gladness within you. Yeah, yeah, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit that you've invited to come live, not just come and visit, but live. If he's visiting, invite him to take up his place. It's his. Say, this is my temple. It's yours. I invite you to come live inside of me. And let him produce the gladness that he so desires to give to you. I want you to take just a few minutes to just ponder the wonder of your new birth. Each and every one of us, I don't care how long it's been since you accepted Christ as your Savior, we need to go back and start to feel exactly what's going on again. Don't get so caught up that you forget about exactly what's happened to you, that you are a new creature in Christ right now. Hallelujah. We need to make sure we just take out some time to ponder the wonder of your new birth, that you just share someone's spiritual joy. When someone comes into the church, when someone comes out of the sin, has been snatched out of sin, we need to share in that spiritual joy. We need to serve as God directs us in their life. We need to receive guidance from his word to make us stronger, to make us every day feel like that it's a new joy. Because we are new creatures. And if you're feeling like you're nothing is changing, the word doesn't do anything for you anymore, you're just up in church to visit now, this is just visiting hour for you, then you need to step back for a minute. You need to go back over and decide, dear Father, show me, pour your outpouring. I want to feel your outpouring love. Pour your overpowering joy on me. Lift me up. Touch me. I want to feel your power. I want to serve a God that I can feel. Hallelujah. You know, we say God is alive. Why aren't you feeling him then? God is alive. He's living. He's a living, breathing God. Oh, hallelujah. And then we need to check our emotional barometer sometimes. We got to make sure, again, as we spoke, that we're not getting so emotional, over-emotional about situations that is separating us from God, that we forget. We don't mind losing our religion. We don't mind cussing somebody out. We don't mind people looking at us and saying, whoa, you know, who are you? You're representing one thing, and then again, you don't mind saying, I sure did, and I'll do it again. You don't mind that. You don't mind somebody looking at you and saying, well, I never want to be a Christian if it's going to be like you. You're wishy-washy. You're here. You're there. You're lukewarm, and you have no place in the kingdom for the lukewarmness. Why don't you ask God tonight to just forgive you as you repent of all of those sinful things? Why don't you ask him to just restore you, rebuild you? Why don't you just meditate on the word of God tonight? Make up in your mind that I'm not playing this time. I really want to go. I really want to go all the way with the Lord. I really want everything that he has for me. I really don't want to stay out here playing games anymore. I don't want to feel him one day and feel into something else another day. That's not joy. That's happiness. That's happiness. Happiness works around your circumstances. Your happiness can increase and decrease. Your joy doesn't matter about what goes around you. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. Your joy is inside of you. Your joy is there to stay. Are you saying hallelujah yet? Your joy is what will take you through all of those hard pains. You see, Paul wrote extensively about spiritual joy, and he knew it was attainable even in dire situations. That's because it originates with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Again, indwelling Holy Spirit, the originator of this joy, spiritual joy. But believers can lose their gladness for several reasons. Some of those reasons is wrong focus. We just spoke about that. Disobedience, regret, fear, or someone else's sufferings. As we close, let's just look at those different reasons one more time. Again, reasons that a Christian follower, believer, can lose their gladness. Paul and Silas were able to praise God despite severe trials because they centered their minds on Jesus. Concentrating on our difficulties, I promise you, does nothing to help us. You can't worry and believe too. Concentrating on our difficulties will cause delight to disappear. If we're looking for delight, we can be in the midst of a happy situation, be very delightful. And one little thing can come to your mind that'll blow your whole day, put you in despair, and all of your delight will just disappear. But refocusing through praise will always give you more comfort. It'll bring you back into focus. Disobedience. Sin steals our joy because it separates us from the Lord. And as we receive his forgiveness and obey him, our joy will return. Just for his regret. See, we crowd our gladness when we continue to feel bad about our past mistakes, when we begin to make others feel bad about their past mistakes. God wants us to believe that he forgives us. He's forgiven our sisters and brothers if they've repented of their sins. And he also desires that we choose to live in his grace and move ahead. So we can't get stuck in our regrets. Fear. Too often, sisters and brothers, we let concerns about the future dictate our mood. With so much outside our control, we become afraid. And so joy and fear cannot coexist. But the Lord calls us to live by faith, asking him to just meet today's needs and trust in him with our future. The doctor said you're never going to be able to have children. Trusting him with your future is out of your control. So fear and joy cannot coexist. Hallelujah. And then someone else is suffering. How can we rejoice when others are hurting, they're suffering? Well, the Bible says that we are to weep with them. Read it. It's in Romans 12. Romans 12 and 15. The Bible says we are to weep with them. But we are also to offer the hope of God's presence. Also offer the hope of God's power. Also don't forget to offer the hope of God's provision. A downcast spirit is a poor witness for hope. And because he has been through the fires of beating, rejection, arrest, the Apostle Paul was qualified to write that confident gladness is possible for any surrendering believer. Are you lacking joy? Fix your gaze on the Savior and let the joy become yours. Fix your gaze on the Savior and let the joy become yours. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you right now to come just live, ask God to live inside of you, to make a difference in your life. Amen? Are you ready to do that? Just take hold of that. I remind each and every one of you, Jesus Christ is waiting. He wants only the best for you. Just repeat after me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God. I believe that you are the true God. I believe that there is none like you. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son. I believe that he died for me. He died so that my sins would be forgiven. I ask you, dear Father, to mend my broken heart. Forgive me and come live inside of me. I am a sinner. I confess of my sins, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. I rejoice with you. I rejoice with you. You can reach me again, your host, Minister Von Dumas, at walkwithmegod@aol.com. We're going to be traveling for a few days here, going into St. Louis and going into Louisville, Kentucky, and going over to the Derby. And so we're still going to try to make sure that we come and spend a little time with you. Spend a little time with you. But I want everyone to just remember, Jesus is extending his invitation for you to come. Come be a part of this great joy. God bless you. Until the next time, God bless you. We love you. Remember, Jesus loves you more. Amen.
My mouth, I believe in my heart, I